In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This familiar parable, brothers and sisters, is about knowing what gives life and what gives death. Understanding what is good and what is bad. I want really to say two main points for you today. One is, what was the undoing of the rich man? What caused him to lose his soul? Was it his greed? He certainly was greedy. Was it his lack of charity? Certainly didn't care about the poor, cared only about his own goods. St. John Chrysostom makes a point of saying that when he says, I have no room to store my crops, the bellies of the poor are the place to store the crops. So there's lots of storehouses for the man to use, but he tore up his perfectly good barns and made bigger ones. So he was definitely greedy, had no charity. Was that his undoing? Those are symptoms of the disease, but they aren't the disease themselves. The problem with this man is that he didn't know what is life and what is death. He said to himself that he would, soul, you have many goods laid up for all these years, so just eat, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He equated his goods with life. And he was very wrong. Because temporal things are not life. Only God, who is eternal, is life. And he gives life to whomever he wishes that lives according to his commandments. So the rich man's undoing was that he didn't know what was life and what was death. I talk to you about this a lot. It's one of my favorite subjects in the Fathers. You can find it everywhere. This idea of the remembrance of death. There's not too much of that going on in our world today, even with people dying a lot, even with acts of terrorism that bring death to the forefront of our minds on, it seems, almost a daily basis, doesn't it? But the remembrance of death is not about knowing that you'll die or about recognizing human death. The remembrance of death is to know what is life and what is death. What leads to life and what leads to death. To have goods and to build bigger barns for them, not caring about the poor, valuing them above the blessing of God, and maybe not even recognizing the blessing of God, that leads to death. Living according to our ego, living according to our desires, living according to pride and boastfulness, that leads to death. Angry thoughts against people is death. Lustful thoughts, death. Living in a haphazard way, death. With a little finer comb, let's talk about some other things that lead to death. Not saying your prayers because you never seem to have the time, death. Rarely reading the scriptures, death. Living in a shallow way that most of the world lives like, death. And what things bring life? To live in a spiritual way. To see everything in a spiritual perspective. To pray. To fast. To read the scriptures. Not because these things are some checklist that you need to check off, but because they are life. Why is it that we want to be around those we love? Because of our obligation? Because you're married and you're obligated to be at home with your spouse every day? Is that why you stay with her or him? I don't think so. And if that is the reason, then may God help you to have a better relationship. It's because you love them. Because they are, shall we say, as a metaphor, they are life to you. Of course, only God is life to us. So we must value what is good, and we must hate what is bad. Our world is very confused about these things. Our world is constantly valuing what is bad and even slandering what is good. It happens all the time. You can hardly pick up a magazine, read a paper, read an internet news report, look at the TV without seeing things that are bad being lauded and things that are good being slandered as bad. But you must know the difference, or else you'll be like this rich man. Perhaps you won't have a lot of money and a lot of goods, but you'll be like him because you won't see the truth of the matter. Actually, if you look in the scriptures, you'll see the undoing of many people was that they did not see the truth of the matter. They did not look in a spiritual way into whatever they were encountering. That happened with the people of the Gergesenes. Our Lord came, got rid of the sin of them keeping pigs, and they wanted him to leave. And he did. That happened with the Pharisee. He goes into the temple to pray, and he says, I'm not like other men. He was correct. He should have thanked God for that and been on his knees. But instead, he judged another man and thought that his righteousness was able to gain him the righteousness of God. He was ignorant. He was actually trading things that give death for his life. Of course, a famous example, early example, would be Esau. He traded his birthright for a bowl of lentils. You must know how to see what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. Don't look to the news to do it. Don't look to any politician to do it. You pick a politician. Don't pick that one. They don't know. But Jesus Christ knows, and the church knows. So you must cultivate in yourself this knowledge of what is good and what is bad, what leads to life, what leads to death. Now, I've been a priest for a while now, and I can tell you that this is something that you must work on all the time. It's not a skill that you learn and then you just put it on the shelf. Because if you put it on the shelf, it degrades, and you're no longer able to see what is good and what is bad. So you must constantly cultivate this skill. Really, I don't know if it bores you or not, probably well over 50% of my preaching is on this idea, is to get you to do this, is to learn what is good, what is bad, to point yourself towards what it gives life, and to hate what leads to death. But you got to know the difference. And I've known enough people to know that even people that are leading quote-unquote good lives often do not know the difference. We must know the difference in everything we do every day. I'll give you an example of something that led to death yesterday. Now, I'm speaking, of course, metaphorically because I'm still standing here talking to you. But for me, I got started a little later than I wanted to yesterday morning. I didn't say my prayers right away. Then there were other things to do. And then a little later in the day, prayed a little, but not with much power. And I felt like, well, that was stupid. I allowed a little bit of tiredness, some schedule things, to get in the way of what leads to life. Only God gives life, nothing else. So my life was filled with lots of activity yesterday, but the primary, the most important activity, I shorted myself on. I didn't recognize it in that moment that what I was doing was not leading to life. In a relative sense, it was leading more to death. This is the way I want you to think. So I want you to value above everything your communication, your prayerful concourse with God. I'm convinced that the saints felt God like we feel the sun. That's how immediate he was to them. You go outside on a sunny day, perhaps today is not a good option for this particular example, but you go outside and you immediately feel the warmth of the sun and the light of the sun manifestly apparent. Is God manifestly apparent to all of us? Or is he sometimes, more often, an idea, sort of an abstraction? For this rich man, who in the context of the parable, let's say he was a Jew, since Jesus was talking to Jews, so that they would have assumed he was a Jew. He was a rich Jew. He believed in God, but God was an abstraction to him. His goods, now, they were real. He could touch them and feel them. He could eat them. He could make them into wine. But God, more of an abstraction. The older I get, all I want in my ministry is to make God not be an abstraction to you. That God is immediate. that you desire above all else to be with God, not be like this rich man. Now, of course, we could speak about the rich man's faults here, and St. John Chrysostom especially has said many wonderful things about this aspect of the parable and how to avoid those faults and about care for the poor. All those things are very important. But none of that has any power in your life unless you have this drive to be with God and that you see things that are not God as death. You see worldly attitudes as death. You see the boastful pride of life as death. You see the wasting of the time that probably every one of us does for some reason that I can't fathom, at least in myself, I can't fathom why I do it. Maybe you're confused by it too. That wastefulness that is part of our life, that's death. We have an opportunity to be with God and we trade it for surfing the internet or for reading a book or for watching TV or for just kind of bebopping around the house. I want you to desire this immediate relationship with God, as real as the sun. The things that the sun creates, the goods, they're temporary. But the Son himself, the Son of God, he's real and he's permanent. So that's what I desire you to do. That's most of what my preaching is. I suppose I could tell you that a preview of next week's sermon is to recognize what is life and what is death. Hopefully I'll couch it in different terms so it won't sound like a repeat. I'll tell you one other thing about this parable. I've told you before that when I read the scriptures, I sort of circle words and phrases. I literally do it when I'm about to give a sermon. That's about the most preparation I do, is I circle words and phrases and might say one or two things about them. But it seems to me that the scripture is really these little words and phrases that sort of come together and they form a tapestry. And you don't even need the whole sentence. What I want to speak of now is that the rich man said, "What shall I do?" That's a foolish question. We should never ask that question. Not in the way he asked it. A dear friend of mine, and going through problems, this person would say, "What shall I do?" And I would say, "You know what to do. You need to pray. You need to fast, at least a little better than you're doing. You need to read the scriptures. You need to try to push those ugly thoughts, those really horrible images out of you. Not doing you any good. That's what to do. We always know what to do. Now, obviously, as human beings, we encounter situations where we don't understand what the next course of action is. It might be some complicated problem. That happens to me 30 times a day as a priest. So obviously, you have to take counsel. You have to consider your course of action. But in a spiritual sense, that's not what this question is meaning in the context of this rich man. It is that he was thinking only of himself, and God was abstract to him. And so he was going to make a decision on his own. In fact, before he says this, "What shall I do?" St. Luke has him saying, "And he thought within himself." What business do we have thinking within ourselves without God? We must always think with God. We must beg God to give us what we should do. It's not our decision what we should do. It's God's. This is a fundamental flaw of the rich man. And because he thought within himself, not consulting God, he made that fatal mistake of considering his goods to be life. Let's not make that mistake. Let's consult with God about what we should do. And then you won't go wrong. May God help us, poor ones. We just, so much that we don't know. There's so much that we just do wrong. But God is with us. God will help us. We have to see what's right and what's wrong. You have to be able to focus your vision to see it with ever finer detail, what is right and what is wrong, what's death and what's life. That's the real primary meaning of this parable. To know what is life and what is death. May God help us to know this necessary knowledge. Mm-hmm.